You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Feb 9, 2022, we are live streaming at Larry Connors, USA YouTube channel. Larry Connors, USA YouTube channel. You can also subscribe for free. So Dr. Fake comes forward and says in an interview with the Financial Times, I think we're past the full-blown pandemic phase. I hope all virus-related restrictions could wind down in a few months. He didn't mention a specific month, but he said, I think everything, including mask mandates, could end soon. Let me tell you how it's going to end and when, my friend. And Dr. Fake knows this. I believe all the restrictions will be off before November, probably a good 2, 3, 4, 6 months before then. We're getting close, aren't we, huh? Why November, Larry? Well, there's midterm elections, don't you know? And the head of the Democrat Congressional Committee says, I think we need to give people freedom, their freedom back, and he acknowledging that, and let them live their lives again. They're all looking to the election. So are we talking about medical science now or political science about we're past the pandemic? I think most of us agree that we are and have been for some time, but not as they continue pushing it. And in fact, Joe Biden's coronavirus task force just today, sidestepping decisions by Democrat governors, say they are lifting or will soon lift mask mandates in their states. That includes New York State. Although they're going to continue, at least in New York and others as well, keeping kids masked up inside their schools. But the White House coronavirus response coordinator says, no, we're gonna start dropping the mandates when we have time, but right now we can't do it. They got to continue to wear them. And Dr. Fake was hinting at, no, there could be another booster shot your way. Right. Up in Canada, they've had that truck convoy, the Freedom Convoy Canada. And they did it. Truckers upset because they were mandated to get vaccines, which they didn't want. So they've been using their trucks to occupy cities, border crossings. There's been no violence despite the overwhelming numbers in Ottawa, Toronto, Quebec, Vancouver, and others. Police report very few incidents of violence, and some of them caused directly by police, actually. But, of course, for the state-controlled media, got to blame it on Trump. It's just another January 6th, only it's happening all over Canada. It has no bearing whatsoever, you know it. And, of course, the GoFundMe shut down the truck, raising money for those truckers because they might be violent, which they haven't been. GoFundMe is the same group which did support BLM. The founder and CEO of Give, Send, Go has been raising money on behalf of the truckers. The last report, approaching $5 million or more. Good. President Biden criticizing a controversial bill in the Florida legislature. The Senate Education Committee, critics are calling it the Don't Say Gay Bill. It says schools may not encourage discussion about sexual orientation or gender identity in primary grade levels or in a manner that is not age appropriate. The sponsor is a Republican. He said, no, it's not stopping discussions one-on-one with the teacher if necessary. But we're talking about school curriculum. And again, I don't think, he said, I think when you start having sexual-type discussions with children, you're entering a very dangerous zone. I would agree. In the meantime, President Biden's administration is spending $30 million, it is a fact, to distribute things like crack pipes to advance racial equity as part of the harm reduction plan. They're going to provide crack cocaine, or I should say pipes to use crack cocaine, which means they got to go get it, crystal meth or anything else like that. This is all part of building back better. So riddle me this. When nearly 40 Republican leaders call on President Biden, age 79, to take a cognitive test, see if he's all there, as Trump did, and Biden won't do it. The story I just read you about going along with the crack pipe distributions and so forth. Somebody needs to take a damn cognitive test, because there's nothing in that skull, I will guarantee you. We're going to get into the crime story deeper next.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
If you can't hear what I'm trying to say, if you can't be from the same place,
maybe I'm going deaf, maybe I'm going blind, maybe I'm out of my mind. Okay, now he was close.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. No neighborhood is safe in New York City right now. Almost every city police precinct, 72 out of 77, have seen a rise in crime this year alone, with total crime rising almost 42% so far. Progressive Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg admitting yesterday the city is, quote, in crisis as shootings surged 30% from the same time last year.
Listen to those numbers. That's Maria Bartiromo on Fox News talking about the increasing crime rate in New York City. And in a moment, you're going to hear a very dire prediction from a police officer. Now, you might say, oh, he's way over the top on that analogy. Maybe. Maybe, maybe not. If I were placing money, I'd say, well, it is a little bit exaggerated, but it's realistic enough that you should have concern. And that is criminals taking over New York City. And by when? If things continue the way they are. And I don't see anything from any of the Democrats in New York stopping it. There are Democrats in New York that are calling out in New York City saying, enough of this, we need to put a stop to it. But they've got others that they may want to also speak out, but they're afraid of being canceled by the progressives who are all about defunding police, because that is part of all of this. Plus the no cash or low cash bail programs being pushed by Soros-backed DAs across the nation, including St. Louis. And against that backdrop, you had the FBI database report that came out the other day that says more police officers have died in the line of duty as a homicide, as an intentional act against them, during Biden's first year than any other year since 1995. 73 officers killed in the line of duty last year, 73. In 95, there were 74 killed. So the number wasn't that much different. But you compare those 73 killed last year to 2020, the last year that Trump was in office, there were 46 killed in 2020. And, of course, a lot of that came with some of those protests that were taking place and ambushing police. And an increase of ambushing police is accelerating anyway. That's also shown in the FBI database. So what are we doing about it? What do we see this administration doing about it? Well, Biden, of course, traveled to New York City the other day, remember? And he said, we can't really talk about defunding police. I mean, we really need, I don't know of any community that does not want to have more police. But he will not call out and stand up directly against the squad members who are still saying defund. Now, they're not as vocal as they were, because they've recognized that this is not going down the route they wanted. So you see them kind of backing off a little bit, but not Congresswoman Cori Bush of Missouri. Remember 6 months ago when it was revealed how much money she was spending on her personal security while wanting to cut police funding for you and citizens of her community? Why? Well, because she had faced death threats and was under threats and so forth, as if you're not. Carjackings are up, and often lately, carjackings accelerate to violence, not just taking the car, but violence, sometimes death. Burglaries accelerating to violence, where it used to be just breaking in and getting in and out. Now they often carry a weapon and use it against a homeowner if they can. All of these crimes matter. All crimes matter. But when you get the BLM yell and defund police coming together, well, that gives a rationale somewhere in the head of Cori Bush that she still holds today, just as she did 6 months ago, that basically says her life is more important than yours. Listen to this.
You faced some criticism in recent weeks over your push to defund the police. Campaign records show that you spent roughly $70,000 on private security, and some critics say that move is hypocritical. What's your response to those critics?
They would rather I die. You would rather me die? Is that what you want to see? You want to see me die? You know, because that could be the alternative. I'm going to make sure I have security, because I know I have had attempts on my life, and I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen.
Yeah. Suck it up. I have to be here. I have things to do. As if you, listeners, right now, you don't have things to do. More importantly, you have a family. And you want to spend more time with them. You want to be here to do that. In the meantime, going from New York City across the country to California, L.A. County is starting to fire 4,000 unvaccinated police officers. Even as we're hearing reports that we're past the pandemic, even according to Dr. Fake, that we're moving past, they still want to fire 4,000 police officers. Do you think that's going to help crime in California? Of course not. And then you get this unbelievable story that folks were saying that cannot be happening, can it? It is. It is a fact. Let me share it with you. The Washington Free Beacon initially reported on this, and Senator Marshall Blackburn, Republican, Tennessee, sent a letter to the Department of Human and Health Services Secretary Becerra yesterday expressing her, quote, grave concerns about this plan. She wrote, government-funded drug paraphernalia is a slap to the face of the communities and first responders fighting against drugs flowing into our country from a wide-open southern border. If this is the president's plan to address drug abuse, our nation is in serious trouble. Well, what is the plan? The grant document under the title of Biden's executive order, Advancing Racial Equity and Support for Underserved Communities Through the Federal Government, involves prioritizing underserved communities by providing, if you missed it in my news and commentary, good thing you're tuning in now, and you may want to share this podcast when you're listening later or now with friends. The Advancing Racial Equity bill would be distributing crack pipes to drug addicts, giving them crack pipes. Now, the U.S. code basically says government money cannot be used for illegal drug distribution or paraphernalia, right? HHS says, that report's blatant misinformation. But they're not saying how. The spokesman said the harm reduction grant offered by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, authorized by the American Rescue Plan, is a grant program designed to help Americans who are struggling with substance use stay healthy and safe, prevent overdose death, and find pathways into evidence-based treatments. Like all programs that are using federal funding, these grants must adhere to relevant federal, state, and local laws or regulations, except by the executive order by Biden, it basically could be spending something like $30 million to distribute crack pipes. How the hell did they get past, you asked? Is that what you're asking? Oh, I hear you. Well, yeah, the American Rescue Plan, which this is part of, got passed in the Senate by a tie-breaking vote of VP Harris. I warned you over and over again, you cannot let it get that close to the Senate because they control the Senate. They have 50 votes. Republicans have 50. Conservatives, let's say. Not all those 50 on the other side are Democrats, but they're liberals, like Barney. And it came down to a 50-50 and a tie vote of whatever it was, and here came VP Harris as her position. Senate Pro Tem, she could go ahead and say, I vote to go ahead. How's that going to help the communities? How's that going to help? You got the squad pushing defund police. They know it's blowing up on them. You've got situations as we see crime escalating, increasing attacks on police, much less intention to kill police, either at something blows up immediately or just an ambush plotted to kill police. You got a lot of police officers saying that's not worth it anymore, and they have families. They want to go home to them. They say, I can get another job now. There are a lot of jobs available. And so the ones that are left, many of them are seasoned and they know what they're doing, but you get stressed and you get overworked. Accidents happen in whatever field of work it is. And then if you're going to not be able to pay a lot of money because you're cutting back funding, you're not going to get the best candidates to begin with in most cases. Let me correct that, in many cases. And that 73 officers killed in the line of duty last year. A spokesman said that that's because, in part also, officers have been marginalized, demoralized, cast aside, and others are encouraged to do whatever they want to. You want to walk into a pharmacy store and grab up a bunch of stuff and walk back out without paying? Nobody's going to stop you. You want to run into a Gucci store or some high-end retail and do that? Nobody's going to stop you. In California, they're not going to prosecute you if they catch you anyway, if it's under $1,000. And then the idea of providing that statement again from the HHS spokesman, that we are providing help Americans struggling with substance abuse stay healthy and safe. In the city of St. Louis, within about a 2 or 3 block area, There have now been, I think, at least 9 overdoses of folks using cocaine laced with fentanyl, and at least 6 or 7 deaths now among those who use those lines of cocaine. And the DA knows and says that China knows its chemicals are used to make fentanyl, and we're not doing anything to stop that. We're not doing anything to let stop coming across the border unless we just happen to catch them bringing drugs in. And now you say you want to make it safe for them. You're not making it safe for them whatsoever. You're not doing anything to make it safe. You're not making it safe for American citizens. You're not making it safe for police. So when Cori Bush went through her remarks a moment ago, she said she had every right to do what she wants to do. Dagan McDowell's with Fox McDowell. She's a Fox analyst. Here's what she sees coming, and it's at least according to sources she's talked to.
If you read this report about the spike in crime in all the precincts, nearly every single police precinct in New York has seen a spike in crime. There are 5 where the rate has doubled. Look, that's more than doubling in, say, Precinct 26. The only precinct in Manhattan not to see a crime jump is the one that governs Central Park. Here's a quote from one Brooklyn police officer. At this rate, we will lose the city by St. Patrick's Day.
Pretty frightening. Overblown or right on point? St. Patty's Day, March 17. This is Feb 9. At this rate, criminals will control New York City. Terrorist threat from the Homeland Security Department coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Capitalism, at its core, what we're talking about when we talk about that, is the absolute pursuit of profit at all human, environmental, and social cost. That is what we're really discussing. And to me, that is not a redeemable system for us to be able to participate in for the prosperity and peace for the vast majority of people.
All right, so we'll pick up that story with AOC in the next segment, but that kind of sets it up for you that she is speaking out that our capitalist system is a wrong system for this nation. The Department of Homeland Security is issuing an increased threat of domestic terror for the spring and summer. Why? Well, with the pandemic easing and people gathering in various places again in large masses, the Department of Homeland Security says that provides a ripe opportunity for terrorists, domestic or otherwise. And they go on to talk about that the U.S. is in a threat environment fueled by several factors, including an online environment filled with false or misleading narratives. Who are they talking about? They're talking about the left or the right? They're talking about Dr. Fake? They're talking about me? And conspiracy theories and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation, or as they call it, MDM, introduced and are amplified by foreign and domestic threat actors. That's what the DHS said in its terrorist threat, saying it's going to extend it, and the advisory that should say through June 7th. That we can expect misleading narratives about the 2020 presidential election and COVID-19 as specific examples of misinformation that would allege and inspire violent extremist attacks. They've also said that it might come primarily from lone wolves or small cells radicalized. So the DHS seems to be concerned about terrorism on our soil, which it should be. But the head of DHS, Mayorkas, continues to let the border basically stay open and let everybody come in, and they're not being thoroughly vetted for any terrorist ties, much less any illnesses or drugs. or child smuggling. I was watching a movie the other night. It's an old one. Don Cheadle is in it. He's starring as a, I think it was called, it wasn't called Traitor, but something like that. He's really a, was born in Sudan, a Muslim, but had moved to the U.S. after his father was killed, and then he ends up becoming a military man. He gets out, and then he's now traveling throughout the Middle East. He's trying to track down terrorist groups he knows that are planning to target the U.S. He's doing it in a clandestine fashion, which gets him arrested, but it gets him linked in closer with the terrorists. You know what the plan was? On a certain day, terrorists across the nation, 50 of them, would get on buses on the same day and begin a travel, and at a certain time on that date, they would detonate an explosive they have with them. And he was going to help dispense them. And so what he ended up doing is putting all of them on the same buses. And they only got 30 of them instead of 50, so they all blew up themselves on the one bus. Unfortunately, the driver was killed, but still, right now we have, I am convinced, inside our nation, we have right now numerous terrorist active groups that have been coming across the border for some time now, and at some point the signal will be given. Heaven help us when that day comes. But we created it. And of course, those who don't like America, and it's so systemic, they continue to come in here, right? And those like AOC think free enterprise, that's not good for people. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota has the perfect new or pre-owned car for you, but Jay Ackerman also has a mission to help charities that make a difference. Ackerman Toyota supports food banks, veterans groups, head injury victims, charities battling cancer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Capitalism at its core, what we're talking about when we talk about that, is the absolute pursuit of profit at all human, environmental, and social cost. That is what we're really discussing. And to me, that is not a redeemable system for us to be able to participate in for the prosperity and peace for the vast majority of people.
So says AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Free enterprise and chasing the money, that's not a sustainable system because it's getting the money at any cost to the environment, to people. You know how they do that, lifting voice? And it's just harmful. She's criticizing the U.S. of A. when China is doing exactly what she is saying we're doing. They're pursuing a profit, and they are doing it at the expense of their population and the environment because they are big polluters in the world, don't you know? But what she just has to do, because that's what these progressives have to do. They really want to destroy America. That's what they really want to do. They'll couch it in various terms like, well, we want to make America better, but they want to radically transform America where you would not recognize it. Your children are at the end of that spear that they're aiming, and your grandchildren and their children and generations of slavery to follow under the Communist Party rule Oh, it all sounds great. Let's all live in one house and have one farm. We all live off that. We're all good. Everybody gets equal. Everybody gets equal. But the leaders get a little bit more equal. Well, I mean, they have a chore to do. Much like we had earlier in this broadcast, in case you missed it, hearing from 6 months ago, Congresswoman Cori Bush pushing for defund police and yet paying $70,000, taxpayers' dollars, to hire private security for herself. Because she's important. And you're not. So here's AOC condemning capitalism. Marco Rubio, senator from Florida, Republican, is of Cuban ancestry. His folks came here as immigrants to escape communism in Cuba. And he says, when I hear AOC make that kind of proclamation, well, here's Rubio. Let him say it.
I'm not surprised by those comments. Those comments are now the mainstream of the Democratic Party. And either people believe that or they have to pretend they believe it, and so their policies do. They woke up one day and I guess decided that Marxism was right all along and that the Cold War should have never ended. And I don't understand how people that feel that way don't just move to one of these other countries. There's so many other countries out there that actually agree with that sentiment about socialism being better than capitalism. In the real world, the world I come from, the neighborhood that I grew up in, the people I've grown up around, my family, capitalism is not these big corporations. Capitalism is the small business owner. It's the person that started it out of the basement of their home or their garage and now owns a small business and employs four people. That's not possible in any other system but the capitalist free enterprise system.
That's true. That's true. And small business is the backbone of our country. Yes, we have the big corporations, and they do employ hundreds, thousands. But you have all these other operations across. Just drive down any of your streets in your town. And all the small businesses, maybe bigger than mom and pop, but they're not big conglomerates. And they're contributing to the economy. They're helping people and providing an opportunity. This country provides the opportunity, and that's the point Senator Rubio's trying to stress, U.S. opportunities for all.
That's the only system in the world where that's ever been possible, where someone can come here legally from another country and in a short period of time be the owner of a business and control their own economic destiny, provide for their families and jobs for others like them. So, look, I think that's a great debate to have. We should have it. It's important to reinvigorate in every generation the belief in capitalism. But this sort of rejection of it and this embrace of socialism by the congresswoman you just said, I mean, that's now the mainstream of the Democratic Party.
It is. And even some Democrats are beginning to turn away because of that. Because if that's going to be our message, they know they don't buy it themselves, and they're not going to endorse it because there are many Democrats that are owners and entrepreneurs on their own. They know they can do that here. Can't do that in China, North Korea, Russia. Anything you do belongs to the state. And you get nothing but what the state says. You hungry? Here's some potatoes. Do what you want with them. Didn't produce enough crop for us? You don't get anything. This country founded upon that and blessed repeatedly by God over and over to achieve the status we have and should have in the world right now, although it's been diminished by the current administration. This country standing for freedom for everyone. Do we have a nasty past? Yes, every nation and group of people do, but that's the past. What are we doing now? What are we doing to move forward? And you can be a Democrat and a Republican and have the same ultimate goal, a better life for you and your family, by however means you want, as long as you don't harm someone else in the process. Or you can be of the attitude that, well, I didn't get mine, so I'll take yours. You know the name Matthew McConaughey. Academy Award winner. He appeared in the Dallas Buyers Club. Got an Academy Award. And always kind of liked his acting anyway and his persona, partly because he's Texan. Born in Uvalde, Texas, actually. But also, when he accepted that Academy Award, he made a point to say, "I thank God." Well, a lot of the Hollywood elites, they didn't like that. Now, he had just portrayed an AIDS victim trying to organize money to buy drugs for other AIDS victims that needed help, which all has, of course, the harborings of homosexuality tied into it. But here he is after that role then getting the Academy Award and praising God for that opportunity. And so I kind of liked him just for that part. Now, recently he had been talking about maybe he's going to enter politics. And he was thinking about he might run for governor of Texas. But some of the thoughts he was proposing and suggesting at the time said that's not really a good idea in my mind. It's not good for Texas. Well, he has now apparently decided at 52 years of age, has decided he's not, he may contemplate it, but he said, "I'm not sure." He said, "I'm still giving a wonder about, hey, what are we doing? What's going on with us as a people, as a state? How are we getting along? Where are we going awry?" And he said, "What's the role of politics in the world? It is," he said, "is it still serving democracy?" Which I think it should in America. That's what he stated. "Studying into two parties, seeing a loss of values, actually because seeing people on both sides of the aisle, either side of the aisle, rather holding on so tightly to their blue or red flag that their whole identities almost sometimes seem to be based on the invalidation of the other instead of the validation of their own values." I think that's a very big point. And he said, "I don't think, and I think we all should know, that in the long run, that's not the way forward. In other words, I only get ahead by putting you down." He said, "I'm just trying to figure out how I can be most useful in this life going forward. Useful to myself, useful to my family, and to the most amount of people." He said, "I'm a simple kid born in the little town of Uvalde, Texas. It never occurred to me that one day I might be considered for political leadership. It's a humbling and inspiring path to ponder. It's also a path I'm choosing not to take at this moment." Now, what he has been doing is gearing up to star in Salesforce's 2022 Super Bowl ad. That's a campaign which he co-created titled "The New Frontier." It focuses on how the new frontier is not out there in space, but right here on planet Earth. He said it's not time to escape. It's time to engage. And time to plant more trees. Good. Build more trust. Time to make space for all of us. God created this world and everything in it. Matthew McConaughey, without trying to get religious, stated the same thing just then, that we are God's creations. Let's make the most of what we have and with each other, not putting others down, but supporting and lifting up. And then we have the American who abandoned the USA team to go to China to become a member of the Chinese team. And she's still dissing America.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of heart. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Her name is Eileen Gu. Of course, she dumped America, ditched Team USA, and went to join the Chinese free skiing team. And I say free, that's a style of skiing, freestyle skiing. And she won gold. Well, that caused a lot of excitement among the Chinese. They were so happy. I mean, they got a gold medal won by this 18-year-old who was born in San Francisco. Her mother, as NBC was pointing out, was Chinese. And so she, at 18, decided, you know what, I'm going to represent that country, my mother's country, try to get the sport further to the women of China. And then NBC goes on talking about that she is fluent in Mandarin, started taking yearly trips to Beijing, and would practice. And so she decided to become a Chinese star instead of a USA team star. Now, according to the NBC report, as it goes on and on like that, it was not because she couldn't compete against the USA team, because she ends up doing it anyway and wins if it was judged properly, and I'm not taking anything away from her ability. But what the problem is that she wants to tell you she's non-political. She insists she's non-political. Her goal is to bring China and the U.S. together with her love of sports. She said, I'm proud of my heritage, equally proud of my American upbringings. It's what she put out in a 2019 Instagram when she informed American fans that she was going to play for China in the Olympics. A piece written by, let me get his name here again. I'll make sure I give him credit for it. Could always want to give credit and or blame if it's wrong to John Hayward, the author of an article at Breitbart titled Meet Genocide Barbie. Woke American-born Eileen Gu ditched Team USA to win gold for China. That was the title of it. He calls her Barbie, Genocide Barbie. And in his article, he points out that she may say she doesn't want to be political, but she's being used that way, even if she doesn't think she is being used that way. He says that she is a left-wing American, which she may well be, I'm sure, if she decided to go to China. Probably has, not saying necessarily communist politics, but maybe certainly farther left than many of us would have. And though she still lives in the U.S., she voluntarily, he says, turned herself over to the China's Nazis to become a PR trophy. And she's well aware of what the Chinese genocide programs have been. She has to know. But declared herself proud to represent China. He says, how can you explain any of this except that she's a teenager? She's 18. She made the decision back when she was 16 to do it this way. She may regret it in the future. She may not. But the author of the article, John Hayward, said, you know, when I grew up in the 80s in a very different America, he said, where the media, Hollywood, big business, sports figures were all part of a righteous shaming campaign against apartheid in South Africa. You know, that was basically discrimination in South Africa on a scale that where whites controlled everything. But he says, now look at now how corporate sponsors and NBC go out of their way to show how great China is, discriminating against many of their own people often, carrying out genocide. He said, how many millions more does China have to kill, herd into concentration camps, forcibly sterilize and torture before corporate media grow something resembling a conscience and journalistic integrity? John, in answer to that question you posed in that article, I don't know if corporate media will ever really have a conscience and journalistic integrity with what we have now at the so-called journalism, when they can't even describe what a news anchor is supposed to do versus a news commentator. Might as well just be what they do in Britain. Just call everybody readers. They're not smart. They're not journalists. They can read. That's about it. That's what they call them, readers. But here we have China excited about that they got her and to join them, and she is clearly acknowledging in an interview with the South China Morning Post, even though she claims I'm non-political, she's an ally of Black Lives Matter. And she endorsed a lot of the stuff they did, but she said, also upset with anti-Asian hate crimes. Yeah, I'm sure you are. But she's all a believer in whatever is out there. I would remind China of one thing. This superstar you have was made in America. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.